then it's no longer an absurdity. Because he who has put on it teaches that death is the condition of life. That the Good Friday leads to the Easter Sunday. That we die to the lower part of ourselves to rise to the spiritual life. And when he came to the cross as a kind of pulpit from which he would deliver his last sermon, it was the fulfillment of an old symbol or type. Centuries before, when the Israelites had disobeyed God, they were bitten by poisonous serpents. And they went to Moses and asked to be healed. Moses spoke to God, and God said, make a serpent of brass, one that looks exactly like that snake that poisoned you, and hang it on the crotch of a tree. And everyone who looks at that serpent of brass will be healed. Now, there's absolutely nothing in looking at a brass serpent on the crotch of a tree that will cure snake bites. Why did God suggest that? Because it was to be a type of himself. And when our blessed Lord came, he used that in speaking to Nicodemus. He said, as Moses lifted the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So as that serpent of brass did not have poison inside of it, but looked as if it were poisonous, so our blessed Lord would look as if he were guilty, but would bear and have no sin. And as all who looked at that serpent of brass would be healed of the poison, so all who would look at our Lord on the cross would be healed of the poison of sin. Why didn't our Lord use a dead serpent or a live symbol instead of a symbol of brass? It was because that would have represented us as sinners. The brass serpent did not belong to the serpent kingdom. Our Lord does not belong to the human kingdom. He's God. And therefore, he can bring to us a healing, which man cannot bring. There are three types
Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to wish our listeners a holy and solemn Lenten season. Father mentioned a couple of times this morning a happy Lent, and I don't think we don't want a happy Lent, but...
At least a blessed one, right?
Exactly. We all grow closer to our Lord. And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for being with us today and for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years, we can't thank you enough. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple of announcements. Kathleen's healing retreat is coming up March 11th to the 13th. That's going to take place at the Malvern Retreat House in the Family Life Center. Great spot for a retreat, smaller venue. And much updated, so private bathrooms, the whole bit. And again, that'll be March 11th to the 13th. It'll start with dinner on Friday and go till Sunday at noon. Kathleen McCarthy will be the retreat director. Father McKay will be on hand taking care of the spiritual responsibilities, mass, confession, and those types of things. Also, fellow broadcaster Ann McGlone will be on hand. So again, that's March 11th to the 13th. You can register online at malvernretreat.com/register or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. Also, at the Malvern Retreat House on May 1st will be our annual Wake Up America dinner. We just updated the website today. You can download the flyer at the bottom of the homepage. And it's same as it's always been. I was looking back through prior announcements, and we keep the price the same, $55 per person, $100 per couple, or $400 for a table of eight. And you can download that flyer, fill it out, and get it to Maureen or give Maureen a call here and get set up. I know Father McKay and I will have at least one table from our house ministries, hopefully a couple. And always great to see folks. There'll be the normal silent auction. Kathleen will be the keynote speaker. I'm sure Father McKay will get to say a few words. And it's a great day every year to be able to see the folks that support this great radio apostolate the way you do, and wish each other well. So if you get an opportunity, again, on our website at inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom and click on the spot where you can download the flyer. It's got all the details. You also want to put a save the date out there for you. The golf outing, annual golf outing, will be on Monday, October the 10th. We're going to return to Old York Road Country Club. And again, that's always a great day, especially for the priests that are able to come out and join us. We get a number of benefactors that take care of the priests that they can play golf and take part for free. But always a great day for all. So circle that on your calendar. Again, that'll be Monday, October the 10th at Old York Road Country Club out there in Springhouse. And as details become available, we'll keep you up to date. Last but certainly not least, the Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with the 8:30 a.m. Mass, and we close around 6 o'clock. Occasionally on Tuesdays we'll close just a little bit early to get ready for our Calyx meeting. But come on down Tuesday or Thursday at St. Gabriel's Church, 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. If you're going to come down, try to reach out to me. I'm there Tuesdays and Thursdays, but usually across the street I'll pop in and out. But if I know you're coming, we can make arrangements to get together. So you can get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website for that.
It'd be a good Lenten practice too, Ken.
Amen.
You know, going the extra mile out of your way, making a pilgrimage, coming down and praying for our brothers and sisters, and see our beautiful church, visit the Blessed Sacrament, the Stations of the Cross, how beautiful they are.
Amen.
And, of course, our Shrine of Matt Talbot.
Amen. I think I saw in church, too, there's a table in the back that's got a basket with your preferred stations, Father, the ones from St. Alphonsus Liguori.
Oh, yeah.
So people can grab a booklet and make the stations themselves. I think they also have stations on Friday night at 6, if anybody cares to stop down. All right, I think that's all I have in the way of announcements. So why don't we begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, one of the patrons of this show. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps through our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls. As we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Also, one quick announcement slash prayer request. We learned right before we came on the air that there's going to be a march of sorts gathering at the corner of 6th and Chestnut this afternoon from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's the site of the Department of Justice here in Philadelphia. And they've recently enacted or permitted or somehow or other allowed the use of safe injection sites. Apparently there was something within the Department of Justice that was preventing it, and whatever it was, they've overturned it or done away with it. And there's been rumbles again about the opening of at least one, possibly two, safe injection sites here in the Philadelphia area. And we've talked about these before, and something that we are really opposed to. I know it draws on the heartstrings of people, especially those that have lost loved ones due to overdoses and addiction, but safe injection sites, folks, is not the solution. And so we ask you to pray for those that are taking their time out to go down there and demonstrate peacefully, to let folks know that we don't believe that this is the solution. We also ask you to pray going forward that somehow or other God intervenes and writes the minds of those that do believe that this is the solution.
Right, Ken, there's only one solution. And when we talk about the higher power, it's not Jesus Christ is not the higher power, and he's not the highest power. He's the only power. Apart from him, we can do nothing, absolutely nothing. So he's the answer to all our questions, the solution to our problems. And it's just amazing, you know, how the world is, we're just, you know, spiraling down more and more, farther away. looking at other things that are going to protect us and save us. Only God. There's only one Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't have a guest today, so it'll be open forum. Anybody wants to call in, whatever's on your mind. But we'll talk a little bit more about the safe injection sites then, as well as some of the other things that are going on.
Yeah, we call them unsafe injection
exactly,
sites.
Exactly. All right, well, we started out the week in the 8th week of Ordinary Time, but we're going to end the week in Lent. Today, of course, being Ash Wednesday, hopefully you've already gone out and attended Mass or Liturgy of the Word and got your ashes. If not, a lot of parishes will be having Mass or the Liturgy this evening. I know I just reminded my daughter, the local parish where she goes to the college out in Indiana, Pennsylvania, where she can get them tonight. So today is Ash Wednesday, so we've kicked off the Lenten season for 2022. And like we say, we wish you a holy and blessed Lent, and may this be the one that draws you closer to God than you've ever been. Tomorrow on the 3rd, we'll celebrate the feast of a local gal, St. Catherine Drexel, and on Friday the 4th, St. Casimir. And since today is Ash Wednesday, and one of those all-important feasts in the church, you know, we were talking before we came on, you know, A&P, Ashes and Palm. If we could just figure out a way to give something away every day other than Jesus Christ and the Eucharist, maybe our churches would be packed. But now it was nice this morning down at St. Richard's in South Philadelphia. The church was really crowded. It was beautiful to see. I talked to Pat this morning, or Patrick, this afternoon when he got here, and he said that there was probably 8 times the number of people at St. Gabriel's that there normally is for daily Mass. So now's the time, as we say, with all the crazy things going on in the world, you know, now's the time to get in touch, get in tune, and get our lives in order in our preparation for Easter. But we thought that we would start today's show with the gospel that you'll either already heard or will hear this evening at Mass. It's a reading taken from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And this is chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and verses 16 to 18. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, in looking in the Missal, Father, it's the same gospel every year. We don't vary based on the liturgical year. And always fitting, I know we've talked about this in years past, and you talked about it this morning in your homily about that spiritual tripod. Fasting, almsgiving, and prayer, and how critical they are to all. And, you know, I know a lot of times we try to tie this into our recovery world. A lot of our friends and benefactors, either with Our House Ministries or the Calyx Society, that listen. And, you know, in the recovery world, I was thinking about it, that all three are required as well, that almsgiving, that we we actually have a tradition in the 12-step program that we are self-supporting. And a lot of times people, when they first get there, don't have two nickels to rub together, but hopefully they stick around long enough to, you know, get gainful employment again and can afford to drop a buck or two or five in the basket and support help support them themselves. Obviously, in the 12 steps, we have an 11th step where we that states that we seek through prayer and meditation. And, of course, the Calyx Society is the ideal spot to practice that 11-step prayer or learn how to practice it. And so we in recovery also, you know, have prayer. And then fasting. And while it may not be something that's explicitly called for in the 12-step program, we know that from Jesus Christ himself, when the apostles went out and attempted to drive out demons, they learned that there were some demons that they couldn't drive out. And Jesus would tell them that those are the ones that can only be drawn out through prayer and fasting. And so while in a 12-step program we may permanently fast or have total abstinence from whatever it is that we're addicted to, all those other little demons that continue to attack us, those character defects or conditions that we have that we can't always seem to knock out like we do with the bigger ones, that perhaps during this season of Lent we can use fasting in order to overcome those things. In my own spiritual life, I don't think there's been anything greater in the past than those periods of fasting. And when we can get control of the appetites for food or whatever it is that we're going to fast from, that we find that we can abstain from some of those other passions that we have. And through that, really draw closer to our Lord. So I know you have more to say, Father, on our spiritual tripod, but I wanted to just tie it in a little bit to our friends in recovery.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah.
Lent is the word means springtime. It's like a new springtime in the church, a privileged season of grace, a penitential season. Think of the word penance. There's two ends in the word penance, and if you take one of those ends, Ken, and do a little penance, and I take the other end and I do a little penance, you take the ends out of the word penance and the letters that are left is P-E-A-C-E, peace. Do penance, we come close to God, we deny ourselves not for nothing but for everything that's above us, God himself, that peace, that joy that the world can't give or even take away from us. I was just thinking that it's a time really to be more Catholic, you know, to reclaim our Catholicity, you know, our devotions, the rosary, you know, the stations of the cross, our prayers, our litanies, daily mass. I was saying that this morning to the people. St. Richard's, you know, I'm always blessed to be there because there's always a large number of daily communicants there already, probably close to 80 somewhere around there. But today, maybe you can double that number. But anyway, it's like just saying to people that the greatest thing we can do for Lent, the greatest spiritual exercise we can do is go to confession and then come to daily mass. And at St. Richard's, they have the rosary there, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning. I noticed you were kneeling this morning, Ken, doing an extra penance there. And, you know, God answers knee mail, you know, and a lot of people can't kneel, but those who can, it's really a form of a penance, of really coming closer to God. But I think of those, that spiritual tripod of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. It's that, you know, you think of a stool with three legs. You take one leg off and it falls down. And I noticed that St. Richard's in the sacristy, they had the Operation Rice Bowl, Ken. Mm. And that brings in all three. Operation Rice Bowl. You're fasting, right? And then the money you save, you're giving to the poor, and you're praying before that meal. So you got all three together right there in that Operation Rice Bowl. But as we come to almsgiving, you know, a lot of people can give more, that's for sure. And some people really can't give money because they're on the receiving end. But I think of almsgiving, even more important than money, is to giving our time, giving our presence, you know, giving good words, encouraging words, even a smile or a hello. Giving our prayers, our sacrificial prayers, and just a wave, anything like that, just to be present. That's all a form of almsgiving, you know, and we're all called to give alms, you know. And I just, you know, what Jesus is saying, you do it secretly. And, you know, sometimes we give, but I want everybody to see me giving. Look how much I give. Look how generous I am. Well, we already had our reward. But when you do it secretly, the Father's going to give us a reward. The Father's going to bless us with the things you can't buy in stores. He's going to bless us with those virtues of His Son, you know, peace, joy, happiness, glory, you know, all these wonderful inner gifts, you know, that you can't see, taste, smell, touch, or hear. But it's secretly with the Father. So almsgiving. Then we come to prayer, to pray. And again, it's like pray in secret. Close that door, you know, to the world. And then go in secret. And what the Father sees in secret, he will reward us. And I think about closing that door, that inner room that we go to. Yes, you know, we need to pray. You know, sort of like verbal prayer or meditation, it's like chopping the firewood for the fire. That's what we do. But very often we don't end our prayer. And yet all that beginning prayer, verbal prayer, our rosaries, devotions, our meditations where we place ourselves in the gospel with the Lord because it's really personal. But then to sit and be still, just open our hearts. And that's the secret, that we go deep, deep prayer, deep immersion where the Lord is, where the Father is. That's where Jesus leads us. You know, where do we find Jesus? We hear that in the Gloria, and we hear it in the Nicene Creed that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. John 1:18, that he sits at the right of the Father. He's in the bosom of the Father. This is where Jesus Christ brings us, to the Father. Everything is leading to God the Father, and this is really deep prayer. And when we just sit and be still, and all of a sudden, a wave of grace can come over us. And all of a sudden, God takes over. And it's almost like, I don't know, divine. It's almost like where a surgeon puts you, you know, takes anesthesia, you know, he puts us to sleep. And we don't know what he's doing because we're so out of it. And here comes the surgeon digging out our tumors and, you know, saving our lives. And this same way with God, the Father, like we go so deep. He's the psychotherapist. You know, he knows where we hurt, where we touch. And I know when I enter into that deep prayer, that deep immersion, the world goes away. There's no politics anymore. There's no war in Ukraine. There's no disturbances at all. I'm just like a reservoir. I'm just like drinking in all these wonderful graces, drinking in the Father's love and the Father's, you know, all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, this fortitude that we need, His wisdom, His understanding and counsel. You know, all this we drink in, and it's like we're being filled up with grace. And then, yeah, I'm going to have to come out of that prayer, and I'm going to go into the world, but I have something to give now. You know, I have this inner peace, this joy, this love of God, and I can walk through a disturbing world and still be at peace and help to bring others to peace. You know, this is how we can become peacemakers. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they're the children of God. But I first must receive all this before I can give anything. And really, sanctity, holiness, is first of all about receiving, and then we give. First I receive from God, and then I give. But that deep prayer, go to your inner room and shut the door to the world, and be in secret. And the Father sees us in secret, we will reward us. And we have to be in secret, you know, to have these beautiful blessings from God the Father. Today, Ken, you know, this is the Sermon on the Mount, but they didn't mention the Our Father. And but I was thinking about the Sermon on the Plain and Luke's Our Father, where, you know, in chapter 10 of Luke, we see Mary and Martha, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's doing all the work, and Martha's all worried and anxious about many things. And, you know, tell my sister Mary, come help me with everything. And Jesus said, there's only need for one thing. And Mary has chosen that better part. It will not be taken from her. That's the deep prayer. You know, Mary didn't even have to defend herself. Jesus was defending Mary. But here's what the thing that really grabbed me the most about the Our Father of Luke, where Jesus gets up, you know, usually gets up early in the morning, goes to a certain place, and he's praying. And the disciples come, and they see Jesus in this prayer, And they say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Now, they all know the Jewish prayers, and they want to be taught like John taught his disciples. What was that prayer? This is the contemplative prayer, the deep prayer, the deep immersion into the presence of God. And this is what I find interesting. Jesus says this now to them. He says, when you pray, say, Father. He drops the hour. You know, in Matthew, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. But here, it's Father. And you can stop right there. Father. Father. You know, this deep prayer that Jesus is in, he's with the Father. And he wants us to be with the Father. It's where Jesus leads us. It's where he's taken us, to the Father. You know, we're baptized and we're confirmed. And we, too, are where Jesus is. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to take you with me so that where I am, you also may be. Where is he? He's with the Father, at the right hand of the Father. And that's where we can be. That's where we're really at. But we need to